And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
All right, it's 11:06 here on a Saturday. This is March 5th, 2016. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari. Sitting to my right is the vivacious Lisa Wolf. Hi, Lisa Wolf.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night on this legendary station, WGN, playing your favorite classic radio shows. And my team, Mike Costella, is here. He is the executive producer. And Shane Reardon in the booth there, our producer, playing these classic radio shows. I'm really excited, Lisa, because we start tonight a new advertiser, and I can't wait to tell you about this new advertiser. It's called Mies Meals. Check them out at miesmeals.com. And the CEO, Scott Zuckerman, is in the studio with us. We're going to talk to Scott in just a little while, and we are going to give away some incredible, incredible prizes from Mies Meals, and we're going to give away to all of our listeners the opportunity to try Mies Meals. What do you think of that? It's like magic.
I feel excited because I have the opportunity, and I'm so excited to share that, my experience of Mies Meals.
So go to the website and check out miesmeals.com, because we're going to give everyone listening, if they'd like, dinner for two on us, on Mies Meals in the WGN Radio Theater. And the delivery right to your home, free. You can get a two meals from Mies Meals, and it's up to $25, and it's absolutely on us.
I was telling Scott, I felt really special when they pulled up to my house and dropped off the Mies Meals for dinner. I felt very important.
Well, the CEO will be here in a few minutes to talk about Mies Meals a little bit, but do check their website out while we're playing these classic radio shows. And tonight we're going to tune into Escape, starring Frank Lovejoy. It's The Shadow with Orson Welles. And also The Life of Riley. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming animated family comedy Storks, about a talking stork narrating life in a factory where babies are on an assembly line.
Wow, that's a tongue twister there,
Lisa. It was kind of a tongue twister.
I'll give you a pass on that one, all right? So if you know who this actor is, you're going to win a $60 gift certificate for Mies Meals, right? $60? $60.
That's a great dinner.
Wow. All right. You can have actually a few dinners on that.
A few dinners on that, right?
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear him now in a scene from his hit TV series, Frasier.
Thank you very much. I like to think of my show as a haven for the tempest tossed in the maelstrom of everyday life.
Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Name that celebrity. We'll find our winner after this short break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that TV clip again.
Thank you very much. I like to think of my show as a haven for the tempest tossed in the maelstrom of everyday life.
We have Jill on the line from Naperville. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great. How are you tonight?
Great, great. We're hoping that you can recognize that voice.
I'm thinking it's Kelsey Grammer.
It is Kelsey Grammer. You are a winner, and we are
yay!
We're so excited because we are going to give you a $50 gift certificate for Mies Meals, which
awesome.
Is yeah, a terrific company. I started using them this week, and you can check them out at miesmeals.com. Also, go to our Facebook page, and you can see some photos that I took of preparing the Mies Meals right in my own kitchen.
Yeah,
so
we're going to feed you.
That's very special.
We're going to feed you, Jill.
Just what I need. Any help in the kitchen, I'm all for.
This is healthy, healthy food. You're going to love it.
Delicious, healthy food. So we hope you enjoyed. And Jill, if you love it, we would love to hear from you and let us know about your experience of cooking with Mies Meals.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
We're going to have Scott Zuckerman on the show in a little while. He's the CEO of Mies Meals. We're going to give away to everyone listening dinner for two, right? Up to $25. That is the special we're doing to launch Mies Meals being a sponsor of our program. So go to their website, and all you have to do is put in the code radio, right, Lisa?
Yes, and this is only for a limited time. So if you're interested, and who isn't, make sure to do it right away.
Yeah, Mies Meals and the WGN Radio Theater want to give you dinner for two up to $25 delivered right to your home. There's a whole menu on there. They bring it right to your home, miesmeals.com. Put the code in radio. And it takes $25 off. So, if your dinner for two is like $24, it's free. If it's $27, you're only paying $3. See the math there?
That was really quick, Carol.
Not bad, right? All right, we're going to talk more about it with Scott. But we're going to start things off now with Escape. Escape was radio's greatest series of high adventure. It started in 1947 and lasted seven seasons. William Conrad and Paul Frees were the voice of Escape. It was a cousin to Suspense, but it didn't have the star power or budget as Suspense did. But I think you will absolutely love this. If you're tired of your everyday grind, ever dream of a life of romantic adventure, want to get away from it all, Lisa, it's time for Escape. We'll tune this in now. This is called The Match. It stars Frank Lovejoy from May 16th, 1948, part one of Escape.
Escape.
You are fighting your way through a frozen wilderness, torn by the icy blast of an Arctic blizzard, and driving you on toward certain death is a man with a gun from whom you cannot escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight, we escape to the Canadian North Woods, to a lonely wilderness where justice finds strange paths, as James Oliver Curwood told it in his famous story, The Match.
Just below the Arctic Circle, where blizzards scream in the winter and tear frozen branches from the pine trees, where the driven sleet cuts human skin like flying glass, there men know and fear the eternal spirit of the icy north, the great cold spirit that weaves the patterns of human destiny, both weaves and destroys. Forever and again, the spirit throws out strange swirls of chance and coincidence that meet eventually in a terrible whirlpool which swallows up the old pattern and creates some new and different one for men to wonder and marvel at. One such swirl in time and space began months ago and far to the south, in a logging camp near the southern border of Canada, where two men faced each other on a narrow trail in the light of a full moon. It began in violence and hatred.
What do you want, Loring?
Thorne, I've been talking to Jeannie. She told me what you did.
Well, what about it?
She told me all of it, the whole thing.
Too bad, Loring. But if you can't keep your wife from casting her eye around, then that's your tough luck.
There were no eyes cast around, and you know it.
All right, then. What are you going to do about it?
I'm not sure yet.
Then I'll tell you. Nothing. You haven't got a leg to stand on. I'm running this camp and every man in it. If you don't like what I do, then get out.
I'm planning to stay.
In that case, you'd better get used to the way I run things. Men and women. And the next time I drop
Why,
in...
Why, you dirty...
That's it, eh? Well, then...
Drop that knife, Thorn. Drop it! Get up, Thorn. Come on, get up on your feet. Get up, Thorn. What's the matter with you? Thorn. Thorn. That rock under his head. He's dead. Jeannie?
Billy. Billy, what's wrong?
Jeannie, I ran into Thorn a few minutes ago.
Oh, Billy, your hands. What did you do?
I hit him, Jeannie. He started to pull a knife, so I knocked him down. His head hit a rock when he fell. He's dead.
No. Oh, no.
They probably won't find Thorn till morning, so I've got to get out of here in the next half hour.
Leave?
I'm new here, Jeannie. They don't know me. It's just my word. I wouldn't have a chance.
Where'll we go?
Not you. You're going to take the baby and go back to the cottage in New York State.
But where are you planning to go?
North, honey. A long ways north. I'll have a better chance up there in the woods.
They'll catch you, Billy. They always do.
Don't worry. They won't catch me. And somehow, sooner or later, we're going to be back together again. Believe me.
And so in the South, one black swirl of chance is born and moves slowly northward through time and space. Moves even as the great Arctic storms move across the faces of continents. And there ahead of it, among the tumbled ridges of spruce and pine, another swirl of human fate moves at the whim of the bleak spirit of that frozen land. Moves first one way, then another, but centers always near one certain red-coated uniform of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Centers on the hard, lean figure of a man called Sergeant Brokaw.
Nice shot, Sergeant.
Thanks, Trooper.
The captain sent me to...
Wait. There's one more target still up out there.
Dead center. Brother, I wish I could shoot like that.
Work on it. Good shooting, something you'll need if you stay in the Mounties.
I guess it's helped you plenty of times.
Yeah, a few. What have you got there, a telegram?
Yeah. It's an order the captain told me to bring out to you. Here.
Let's see. Special assignment for apprehension and return of a fugitive. Name, Billy Loring. Height, 5 feet, 11 inches. Weight, and so on and so on. Last seen near Hobbs Landing on October 3rd and reported heading north. Wanted for murder. Sergeant Brokaw signed. Instruction, bring back fugitive.
They make it sound plenty simple, Sergeant. Bring back fugitive.
That's just the way it ought to sound. When you're assigned to bring a man in, you bring him in. That's all there's to it. There's no excuse and no alibi for not doing it. You can take my word on it, Trooper. I've been doing it for 12 years.
And so far, you've never missed getting your men?
Not so far, not ever. When I go after a man, I'm going to get him, sooner or later. And one way or another, I'm going to bring him back. Every time. And that goes for this, what's his name, Loring. You can bet your life on it.
And so they grew in time and space, these two great swirls of chance. The one hovering in the north, and the other moving toward it slowly across 1,000 miles and through 227 days. And one night at last, they met in a tiny raw pine cabin hidden in the blizzard-frozen marsh hard up against the Arctic Circle. And the wild whirlpool born from that meeting created strange, new patterns of human life and death and destiny.
All right, Loring. Let's have your other wrist. There.
You don't need these handcuffs. You've got me, that's that.
I don't take chances, Loring. You know it already, of course, but you're under arrest in the name of the Crown for murder. You can sit down in that chair by the stove.
Thanks. It's funny. I've lived here all winter, and I've had pretty good luck trapping. I've been selling furs to the Indians. In another month, I'd have had enough to go away and meet my wife. Then you come along.
Tough luck, Loring. We'll start back for the post in the morning, or at least as soon as this blizzard lets up.
That'll be 3 days. It always is. What's your name?
Brokaw. Sergeant Brokaw.
That's kind of funny somehow, today being the day you found me.
Glad I did. I hate to be camping out in that blizzard tonight. What's so funny about today?
It's her birthday. I mean, my wife, Jeannie. Here, let me show you.
Hold it, Loring.
Oh, no. It's all right. It's just her photograph. Here, let me unwrap it. See?
She's a pretty girl.
Yeah, that and everything else, Sergeant. You married?
No.
Had some of her hair, that curl that's pinned to the picture.
Yeah. Red, isn't it?
It's like red gold. We got married on her birthday. So today's our wedding anniversary, too. She wanted it that way. She said the best things in her life always happened on her birthday.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I guess it was crazy. But I was so happy when I got up this morning about what day it was and only 2 months to go and all. I put two places at the breakfast table and I propped her picture up by one of them. I sat there talking to her while we ate together. I guess you get like that up here alone. I haven't seen a white man for 3 months. I had a little dog for a while, but he died about 6 weeks ago, and there wasn't any chance to get another one. Jeannie always liked dogs. Dogs and kids. You don't mind my talking this way, do you, Sergeant? Kind of helps.
I don't mind. Why should I?
Well, the thing is, we've always been so blamed crazy about each other. We'd never been apart until this came up. And then we had to be. And in another month or two, we'd have been back together.
It's your own fault, Loring. It's not my concern. My job is to find you and bring you in. I've done part of that, and I will do the rest of it.
Maybe so. I warn you right now, Sergeant, I'll make it as tough for you as possible. I'm going to get away if I can. You see, I promised her that we'd be together again.
It's up to you, Loring. But if you start to play rough, I can play a whole lot rougher. One way or another, I'm going to bring you in to stand trial. And there's nothing can stop me.
Maybe so, Sergeant.
You see, I'm probably the hardest man in the whole Royal Canadian Mounted, Loring. And that's your hard luck, too. Because you might have softened up another man with that stuff you were telling.
You think that's why I talked about it?
I don't know, and I don't care. The only thing that matters is that I've got a job to do. I always have done it, and I'm going to do it this time. You can depend on that.
I guess duty's a big part of your life.
Not a big part of it, Loring. It's all of it. Now, if you don't mind, I've come 15 miles through the snow today. Last 5 against a blizzard. I'm tired. Let's turn in.
All right, sure.
You can take the bunk. Leave your clothes on.
Is it all right if I get that photograph off the table?
Go ahead. All right. Put your feet together.
Huh? What's the chain for?
It's another reason to call me hard. I'm going to padlock it around your ankles.
You are cautious.
That's right, Loring. There. Now call out if you want anything in the night. If you try to get up without calling, I'll kill you. I'll sleep here in the chair. And this gun happens to be cocked.
Thanks for warning me. Good night, Sergeant.
Good night.
By the way, Sergeant Brokaw.
Yeah?
It's too bad you never got married.
Why?
Now, because when you go to sleep, you've nobody to dream about.
Lisa, when I go to sleep, I dream about you and doing the show.
I figure that. I think,
being here next to you, doing the show every Saturday and Sunday night.
I was just going to ask you, do you have something to dream about? And now I have my answer.
You know what? When I can't fall asleep, I think of good thoughts. I think of nice thoughts, and it puts me to sleep. I always think about your smiley face and your dimples, because you have dimples, and us here at WGN playing these classic radio shows.
It is our happy place.
Yes, absolutely. All right, that's the first portion of Escape. From May 16th, 1948, The Match, starring Frank Lovejoy. He did a lot of radio. He was, of course, on Nightbeat, and he was on Suspense all the time, Escape. And also in the cast, Wilms Herbert and Stan Waxman, as heard on CBS. We'll get back to Escape in just a few moments. Before we go to news, I do want to remind our listeners that we have a contest where we give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, a year's supply every single month. And all you have to do, Lisa, is what?
You have to send a picture of you and your cat and send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Tell us your name, your cat's name, your city and state. We just had our February winner, which was very exciting. Dan Jaffe, the CEO, came in and chose a lucky winner, and we're hoping that you will resubmit again for March. He will be back the end of March, and hopefully you will win a year's supply of the finest kitty litter on the market.
That's right, Cat's Pride. So send a picture of you and your cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com.
Yeah, you like to repeat what I say.
I just like to, you know, they call it
drill it in a little bit.
To reinforce, you know, what the email address is.
Gotcha.
All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf to my right. And we are launching a new sponsor of the show tonight, Lisa, Mee's Meals. And you and I and Mike Castella have been enjoying the delicious food that is delivered right to our homes, and we're going to talk all about it with the CEO of Mee's Meals. Scott Zuckerman is in the studio with us. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And this is a really unique company because there's a lot of empty nesters out there. There's a lot of busy moms and dads that are listening to the show. I'm a busy dad. I'm a single dad. And my son lives with me, and this is the perfect thing for me because I'm not a great cook, and I go on and I order three double meals, you know, so I do meals on Monday, Wednesday, Friday for my son and I. We get the same thing. I got a salmon this week. I ordered a salmon. I did a chicken enchilada. I'm trying to think. There was one other thing. I can't remember what it was, but we get these meals delivered to our home on Monday. And they're fresh. They're like vacuum packed, and they're in coolers. And I just put them in the refrigerator, and then my son and I cook them together. It's fantastic, and everything is in there. And there's really nothing like this out there. And I know Lisa's on the program, and Mike is on the program. Tell us more about Mee's Meals.
Yeah, so, I mean, you touched on it, is if you're looking for having a couple more meals a week that you can cook as a family instead of doing something that might be highly processed or high in fat and calories, this is really good, tasty food that you can have all the ingredients there. They're chopped, they're prepped, they're ready for you, and you're able to get a meal on the table that you feel like you really have some pride in and cooked in about 30 minutes.
Right. It's all in there. There's nothing you have to buy. It's all there. The cheese is there. Everything's measured out for you. It makes it super easy to prepare these meals. Even Lisa can cook these meals.
Well,
right,
here's
Lisa?
The thing. Not only am I not a great cook, but I'm a picky eater too. And so this works for me. Number one, I get to choose the meals I want. If I don't care for salmon, I'm not going to get salmon. I can pick the stuff that I like. I go online with my daughter. We make the choices together. We have the opportunity to say no onions or no coconut or no gluten or whatever works for us, which is exactly what we did, by the way. And when we get it, we feel that we've chosen it and we cook it together and we loved it. I had the it was a Thai rice bowl. It had sweet potatoes and tofu and kale. And I posted photos of it, made it in my own oven, in my own kitchen. And honestly, it was absolutely delicious. We all had it for dinner. And I look forward to getting more Mee's Meals this week.
We're going to post more pictures all week long. Mike is going to, and Lisa and I. And the other great thing about this is once you sort of register with Mee's Meals, you don't have to order every week. If you want to order, you can. If you don't want to order, it's fine. If you're going on vacation, I mean, you order when you want to, and you don't order when you don't want to, right?
Yeah. You know, everybody's life is different week to week. One week you have a soccer tournament that you have to be at 3 days. Another week somebody's traveling. So having the idea of a subscription that locks you into a certain number of meals, it just doesn't work for most people. So this is, you go to the menu, you choose what you need that week, and you're all set.
And the menu changes weekly, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and it's all prepared over the weekend. So you order before Friday, right? You do this all
Friday
online.
Friday at noon.
Yeah, you do this all online, and then it's all prepared over the weekend, and then it's delivered to your home on Monday.
Yeah, they pull up to the house and drop it off in these coolers with ice packs. So it stays fresh, it's cold, it's refrigerated, and it's not only delicious, it's healthy, and that's important to me.
Right, so for a limited time, because we're launching a new sponsorship with Mies Meals for the WGN Radio Theater, for a limited time, folks, we wanna feed everybody listening, right?
That's a gift.
Mies Meals and the WGN Radio Theater wants to give free dinner for two. Free dinner for two, up to $25. And you can get two dinners for around $25.
And the delivery is free.
And the delivery is free.
Which is amazing to me.
Right. So just go to MiesMeals.com, register. There's no obligation. You will get a free dinner for two, up to $25, delivered right to your home. But you have to put in the code radio at checkout. That's very important. Just put in the code radio at checkout. And do this because we want to feed you. We want to play classic radio shows for you, and we want to send you good, healthy food from Mies Meals.
I am going to post this information on our Facebook page right now. So if you didn't catch what Carl was saying, because sometimes I don't listen to him either, you can go to our Facebook page and you can check out, go to the website, Mies Meals. That's M-E-E-Z. Meals.com.
All right. And we'll have you back for another kind of a recap of what we just talked about, Scott. Okay, but we got to get back
great.
To suspense now.
Thank you.
So, I mean, escape. Let's go back now to May 16th, 1948 for The Match starring Frank Lovejoy in Escape.
Billy, Billy, darling, can you hear me?
Yes, Jeannie. Yes, darling.
Never mind the blizzard. It doesn't matter. We've been in storms before.
Yes, I remember.
And today's my birthday. And also the day we were married. Nothing can really hurt us. Everything's going to be all right.
Yes, Jeannie. Yes, everything is going to be all right.
Billy.
Yes, Jeannie.
Remember one time in the fall, we built a bonfire and roasted ears of corn. That was in the field back of the cottage.
Oh, yes, 2 years ago. That was on your birthday, too.
Yes, yes. And do you remember how the smoke would always get in your eyes? And how it would follow you around and make you cough and sneeze?
Sure, I remember.
Remember? The smoke, Billy. The smoke.
Sure, I remember.
Billy, the smoke. The smoke. Mm.
What? Smoke. The cabin's on fire. Sergeant. Sergeant Brokaw. What? Wake up. The cabin's on fire.
Good Lord.
Will you get this chain off my feet? I can't walk.
No time. The whole roof's on fire. Here. I'll carry it. Smoke. Can't see the door. Oh, here it is. Yeah, looks like we made it.
Thanks, Sergeant.
I gotta get back in there. All our stuff's in there.
You can't make it. There goes the roof.
I guess you know the spot we're in, Loring.
Yes, I know. Our heavy coats, mittens, snowshoes, and all of our food is burning up inside there.
And it's 40 below, and the blizzard's just starting. Here, you can't lie there in the snow. Get that chain off your ankles. There you are.
Thanks, Sergeant. What about the handcuffs?
They stay on, Loring.
Are you crazy? What difference does it make? We haven't a chance. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah, I know.
We couldn't be any worse off. We don't even have a match. I saw you fill your case and put it in your coat. It's inside there. We don't even have a match.
I know that, Loring. And I know everything else you're going to tell me. We don't have enough clothes to keep us from freezing to death. If we stay here and keep the fire going, we'll starve. It's 60 miles to the nearest post and 20 miles to Thoreau's, the next cabin down the trail. We might make 10 miles if we're lucky. More likely five.
That's right. So why the handcuffs?
You've been living up here for 3 months, Loring.
I've got an idea. You probably know some cabin a lot closer than Thoreau's. Some Indian or a trapper. Maybe not more than 2 or 3 miles away. You want to start breaking trail?
Well, suppose I did. What of it? Something good has always happened to me on Jeannie's birthday, and I think it has this time, Sergeant. It's a lot easier to freeze to death than to go back and die the way I'd be doing it. So.
Oh. So it's like that?
It's like that. Unless you want to make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Take off these cuffs, give me that revolver, and I'll get you out of this. There's a cabin, all right.
Sorry, Loring. No deal.
You're a fool, Brokaw. I got nothing to lose, but you're just tossing your life away. How about it?
We'll take turns breaking trail. You can lead off first. We may as well start.
Where?
Thoreau's, of course.
20 miles. Why don't we sit down and freeze to death here instead of 5 miles from here?
Because I'll be 5 miles closer to bringing you in. Come on.
You're a fool, Sergeant. You're beaten. You know it. Why don't you give in?
Come on, Loring. Let's get going. Loring, how far do you think we've come by now?
I don't know. Let's rest for a minute.
Yeah, I'm pretty winded myself. 5 miles, you think?
I'd say about 4. 16 more to Thoreau's. Think we'll make it, Sergeant?
We'll try it.
If we only had some way of building fires, we could stop and get warm once in a while.
Not even an Indian could build a fire in this blizzard without matches.
Yeah. The wind is slacking off a bit.
Which means it'll get colder. Come on, we better move on.
Sergeant, how about taking off these cuffs? They're freezing to my skin. Look, I'm bleeding on both wrists.
Then why don't you take us to that cabin you know about?
Want to make that deal?
No deal.
No deal, no cabin.
Then I'm sorry for you, Loring. But the cuffs stay on.
Why? What difference can it make? We'll both be dead in 2 hours anyway.
If we are, you'll still be wearing those cuffs. And this gun will still be in my holster. Dead or alive, you'll still be my prisoner.
The hardest man in the mountains.
Are you ready, Loring?
Sure, why not?
I'll let out for a while. Come on, let's go.
Of all those who dwell in this frozen land, the bleak, cruel spirit of the North is known best to men on the open trail. There, facing the breath of the blizzard, eyes blinded by the driving sleet, a man feels his soul grow small within him. And when that happens, his mind may turn to strange fantasies and to memories of a faraway voice.
Billy, can you hear me, Billy?
Yes, Jeannie.
Everything's going to be all right, Billy. I love you, and everything's going to be all right.
Sure, honey.
The snow doesn't matter, and the blizzard doesn't matter. They'll be gone soon, and there'll be only us.
Yeah. I can see you now, standing there at the gate, in front of the cottage.
That's right, darling. Don't look at the snow and the icy trees and the storm. Look at me instead. See?
It's spring. The sun's shining.
And I'm wearing my hair the way you've always liked it. It's in curls, all tumbled. See, Billy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jeannie, Jeannie. But, Brokaw? Brokaw, what's the matter?
Helda. Tired. Rest a while.
You can't lie there like that. You'll be asleep in 5 minutes. That'll be the end.
Thoreau's.
How much farther?
Oh, around 14 miles. Come about 6 altogether.
Your hands. In pretty bad shape.
I don't know, Sergeant. I can't feel anything now.
Might as well take those cuffs off. Stick out your hands.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Here's my gun.
How come?
I'm through. Beat. I'm giving in, Loring. Take us to that cabin. What's wrong with you?
You're too late, Sergeant.
What do you mean?
The cabin's about 2 miles from where mine was. We're over 4 miles from it now. Neither one of us can last another half mile.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, looks like you win, Loring.
You might call it that. It's tough on you, though. I was going to die anyway.
Well, you may as well keep moving.
Why? This is as good a place as any.
Not going to stop trying as long as I can move. You can do what you like, Glory. I'm going on.
Wait a minute, Sergeant. If we had a fire and we could get warm for a while, then we could make that cabin without much danger.
Yeah, we haven't.
Suppose I say the word that'll save both of us, get us out of this. Will you go back to headquarters and tell them I'm dead?
No. No, I can't do that. In 12 years of the service, I haven't run up a white flag once. I'm not going to do it now. Dying or no dying.
Duty, huh?
Call it whatever you want. We'll make you square offer, though. Pull us out of this, and I'll give you 24 hours head start. As soon as we're both on our feet again.
You're all right, Brokaw. Funny, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I couldn't let you go on down the trail there. You'd stumble into a drift and be dead before you made half a mile, and I'd have been safe then. Funny, I don't know why I'd do it. Maybe it's on account of her.
What's your plan, Larry? What have you got in mind?
I'll take the offer of 24 hours, Brokaw. I've got a match.
A match?
Yeah, just one. I remember dropping it in my pants pocket yesterday. It's on this side. Maybe you can get to it. Your hands are in better shape than mine.
All right. I can't seem to... Yeah, here it is. It's dry, too.
Don't drop it. It's the only one.
Yeah, we've got to have some branches. Dry bark. Here. You hold it while I get some off that birch tree.
All right.
Mash. Mash. Don't drop it, Lauren. Hold it carefully.
Yeah, I got it.
Bark's dry underneath. Ought to be all right to start.
That should burn all right.
We ought to have some dry paper, just to make sure.
I've got some. Hold the match.
Paper wrapped around that photograph.
Here you are. Funny, I was thinking about her when I remembered the match. I guess she's the one that's really going to light this fire.
Well, there it is. You want to strike it, or you want me to?
You go ahead. My hands are still pretty stiff.
All right. You want to have something dry to scratch it on?
There's a gun file in my same pocket. Reach in and get it.
All right. Yeah, here it is.
All right.
Well,
it's up to her now. All right, Jeannie, strike the match.
Oh.
Brokaw.
Oh.
Brokaw, what's the matter?
The match. Loring, it went out.
No.
Our only chance, and it went out.
So that's that.
I gotta get moving. I gotta get to Thoreau.
Brokaw, you can't make it.
I gotta go on. As long as I'm alive. I gotta keep going. I gotta keep going.
Brokaw, you don't have a chance. Brokaw! He's gone. Well, what's the difference, here or half a mile farther? It's not so bad. It's kind of peaceful. Dreamy. So peaceful, it's just like going to sleep.
Billy. Don't go to sleep, Billy. Wake up.
Everything's going to be all right, Jeannie.
Wake up. Darling, you can't go to sleep. You've got to wake up.
Everything's all right.
The smoke, Billy. Don't you remember the smoke?
Huh?
We're going to be together again. Open your eyes.
Huh?
Together again, Billy. Open your eyes.
Huh? What? Smoke. The fire. It's burning. The spark from that match must have caught. Jeannie! The fire is burning. The fire.
And so one man finds eternal sleep on the frozen breast of the snow. And one man dreams beside a fire, whose tongues of flame are like the red curls of a woman's hair. When the blizzard has stripped the little things away, and the soul of a man stands facing the blast, clean and bare and alone, then what is right and what is wrong? Does justice depend on the striking of a match? Is human destiny only a thing of accident and of chance? Ask the icy voice of the Arctic storm. Ask the cold, bleak spirit of the great North Woods.
Escape is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, and tonight brought you The Match by James Oliver Curwood, adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield, with Frank Lovejoy as Billy, Wilms Herbert as Sergeant Brokaw, Cynthia Corley as Jeannie, Nestor Paiva as Thorne, and Clark Cuny as the Trooper, with Stan Waxman as the narrator. The musical score was conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week, we bring back the escape story you have most requested in your letters, Carl Stevenson's gripping tale, Leiningen versus the Ants. Good night, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There you have it, Escape. That's a broadcast from May 16th, 1948. Frank Lovejoy starring in The Match as heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. Lisa, you like these mysteries, right? You like the mysteries?
I do.
But you
I
like
think
the comedies.
We're all mysteries.
What about you, Mike? Comedies, mysteries, detective?
Ooh, detectives and mysteries.
Shane, how about you? What do you like?
I like the comedies.
Yeah? Okay.
Comedies are fun.
Yeah.
We're still having Facebook listeners asking for more comedies.
Okay, well, we'll
so
play.
So we're working
we
on
it. We are going to play a comedy a little later.
Yep.
We're going to tune into The Life of Riley. The show we're going to play in our next hour, Orson Welles stars as Lamont Cranston, The Shadow. You won't want to miss that. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf. This is hour two, and you're awake.
I am.
Nice.
Wide awake.
All right. I like that song.
I do, too.
That's a good song. I can't remember the guy who does that, but Shane, who is
George
that?
Ezra.
There you go.
Come on.
I like that song. I like it a lot, and I like classic radio a lot. We're going to play The Shadow in this hour with Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston, and then in our third hour of the show, we're going to tune into The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Comedy, people want comedy? Well...
Yep.
We are going to deliver some comedy, and this is all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming disaster drama Deepwater Horizon, based on the 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion in the Gulf of Mexico.
All right, so the number to call, 312-981-7200. You can get a $50 gift card to Mee's Meals. Go to meesmeals.com. $50 gift card if you can tell us what celebrity Lisa's talking about. Here is a here's a hint. You'll hear him now talking to his friend, Ted.
You know, this place looks great.
Oh, thanks, man. It's all IKEA. Did the whole place for $47.
Nice.
Yeah.
How are the neighbors?
$47.
Give us a call if you know who that celebrity is. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
You are listening to the WGN Radio Theater. This is Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
You know, this place looks great.
Oh, thanks, man. It's all IKEA. Did the whole place for $47.
Nice.
Yeah.
How are the neighbors?
That's what your house is like, right?
$47 all is, IKEA sounds like furniture. A lot right now, actually. We've got Dean on the line from Chicago. Hey, Dean.
Yes.
How's it going?
Great.
Great. Can you tell us who that celebrity is?
I believe it's Mark Wahlberg.
And you are right, Dean. You are a winner. You have won a $50 gift card for Mee's Meals, fresh and delicious healthy food delivered right to your door. So we hope that you'll appreciate that. And let us know what you think of Mee's Meals. We think it's really special.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Dean.
All right. In just a few moments, we're going to tune in to our second classic radio show of the program. It's The Shadow with Orson Welles. But before that, I want to welcome back Scott Zuckerman, the CEO of Mee's Meals, to the program. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Carl.
So we have a special going on. We want to feed everyone listening, right? We want to feed all of our listeners. We bring them classic radio, great entertainment. We want to also bring them great food into their home, and Mee's Meals is helping us do that. Now, here's the offer. We're going to give away free dinner for two. Mee's Meals is giving away free dinner for two, all of our listeners, up to a $25. So all you do is go on to the website, meesmeals.com, just register and pick out dinner for two. It's delivered right to your home. There's all kinds of great things on the menu. And at the end of checkout, make sure you put the code radio. And then what'll happen is it'll deduct $25 from the bill. And a lot of the things you can buy on there, dinner for two, won't even be $25. You can get dinner free, right?
Yeah, per serving per person, it's usually somewhere between $10 and $12. There's some that are a little bit more, but most people should be able to get a two-serving meal that they want to try, and if they want more than that, then it'll be $25 off the order.
Now, talk a little bit about how healthy this food is and how easy it is and how it's prepared for people. It's really a unique company, Mee's Meals.
Yeah, the biggest thing is really that you have the transparency of the ingredients. You know exactly what you're cooking. It's all there. It's prepped. It's ready. You can put it in the pan. You hear the sizzle, but you see what it is, so it's not processed. And items have sometimes they might be higher in calories or lower, but you know exactly what you're getting, and they all taste great.
You know, I know myself. I'm a single dad with a son, 17-year-old son living with me, and he's always wanting to order a pizza, right? Or he's always wanting to just go out and get fried food or fast food. So this is a way that I do it three dinners a week. So I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I have Mee's Meals coming out with dinner for two. And we cook it together. And he actually helps me, and he likes doing it. It's a lot of fun. We get to do something together. And then I know it's all natural, good, you know, it's not processed and all this crazy stuff. It's great food for you. It's fun to cook it together. Everything is there. That's the beauty. I don't have to worry about getting, you know, the cheese is there and, you know, and all that. Everything is there. I had some squash the other day. It was awesome. I put it in there. I felt like a chef.
Yep.
I really did. I felt like I was like, you know, like I knew what I was doing because it's all right there on these cue cards for you. It's all right, Lisa?
I did the same thing. I felt very chef-like. I posted the pictures online. So I even have a picture of my daughter cooking the tofu in the pan, which I thought was pretty exciting.
Yeah, we get emails all the time, Lisa, just like that, of people saying, I can't believe that my daughter or my husband actually was able to cook a meal and have it taste good because I never would have thought they'd be able to.
It is good. And I appreciate having the opportunity to choose the meals that I like. Because I am picky and I picked just the ones I liked and I had it prepared just the way I like it. And if I don't like certain ingredients, I just had you guys leave it right out of there. I don't want any coconut in my dinner. So I say no coconut, something like that, but that's just me.
Yeah. And if you have, for example, where you don't want gluten, we'll automatically substitute a gluten-free pasta for you. So you can have global preferences set. And then for each individual ingredient, you can also leave something out that you don't like.
I noticed you could say no dairy, no gluten, whatever. So I appreciate the options and the choices as well.
You know what I really love about it? Because this is not a subscription company. It's not like you sign up and they send you a certain amount of food every week. It's not like that where you can be wasting food, throwing it out. What you do is once you register with meesmeals.com, and you get this special offer because we have a special free dinner for two delivered to your home. You get $25 off, and you just put the code radio in at checkout. The great thing here, then you're registered. And if you don't want to order anything each week, you don't have to. But maybe you have people coming over and you want to have a great dinner sent to you. You know, there's no obligation to order every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. It's when you want to. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's up to you. You have a particular week where you know that you're going to have a couple nights that you want to cook a home-cooked meal, and you have a short amount of time, you want to get something on the table quickly, you can order.
We are so sure that our listeners are going to love our partnership with Mies Meals that's why we are offering this free dinner for two. You guys try it, and we are so sure that you're going to love it that we want to give you the first dinner on us.
Right, so it's a free dinner for two. Up to $25. Just go to MiesMeals.com, register, pick your dinner for two, and make sure you put in the code radio. That'll get you your dinner for two, up to $25, absolutely free, delivered for free too. And you don't have to tip you don't have to tip anybody either.
Oh, I didn't tip him.
You don't even need to be home. You don't actually need to be home to receive it.
Whenever
you get home.
I didn't even think of that.
Well, every time I come home, it's right there. It's outside my door. It's all with the ice.
Well, I was home and I did say thank you, but I didn't even think of leaving him a tip. That's so
yeah,
funny.
You don't have to tip.
No tips.
You know what, Lisa?
Tips.
No tip.
No tip.
You like that. That's
I like
good.
That.
You know, I used to be able to make fun of Lisa because she's not the world's greatest cook over here. She's multi-talented at a lot of things. Cooking maybe is not your strong point, but now I can't even make fun of you anymore, Lisa.
You know what? I should make a Mies Meals dinner and invite you over.
All right.
That
you
would
got
be
it.
Fun.
All right. So we're gonna tune into The Shadow in a minute here. Just want to one more time tell everybody listening that you can have dinner for two on Mies Meals and on the WGN Radio Theater, up to $25. Just go to MiesMeals.com. Make sure you check out the menu and put in the code at checkout, radio. Scott Zuckerman, great having you on the show. And you're going to come back, and Jen will come back, you know, maybe once a month and tell us what's happening with the company and the progress and all the great stuff.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thanks,
great having
Scott.
You here. Okay, it's time for The Shadow. Orson Welles was Lamont Cranston, The Shadow. Agnes Moorehead was the lovely Margot Lane. This is going back to January 16th, 1938. It's called Sabotage. Here's part one now of The Shadow.
The Shadow knows.
Lou Cole presents The Shadow, the mystery man who strikes terror into the very hearts of shopsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Today's story, Sabotage. Today's exciting adventure with The Shadow starts in just a moment. But first, I'd like to say a few words about health. Over 50% of all family colds can be traced to uneven heat or overheating in the home. So protect your family's health by burning blue coal, America's finest anthracite. Then you'll be sure of steady, lasting, healthful heat at less cost. The next time you order fuel, ask for blue coal by name. You don't have to get a full supply. Your nearest blue coal dealer will be glad to send you a trial ton. Phone him tomorrow.
Engine room.
Stand by for test number 11.
Engine room standing by, Commander.
Ship full speed ahead. What the? Engine room. Hello. Hello, engine room.
Chief Engineer Swain reporting. Boiler explosion, sir. Three casualties, sir.
Good Lord, what happened, Commander?
Boiler explosion, Lieutenant.
Hard luck, sir.
Luck nothing.
You mean another case of sabotage?
Yes, sabotage.
Submarine L-21 calling submarine base. Submarine L-21 calling submarine base.
Submarine base answering L-21. Go ahead, L-21.
Submarine L-21 in distress. Submarine L-21 down off Diamond Head. Cannot rise. Emergency. Emergency. Pumps damaged. Looks like sabotage.
Cruiser returning to base. Cruiser returning to base. Explosion. Explosion in after gun turret. 3 dead. 6 wounded. Suspect sabotage. Suspect sabotage.
Lord! Hello! Hello! Hello, sentry post number 4 reporting. Explosion and fire. Explosion and fire in destroyer dry dock. Sag Island Shipyard. Sag Island Shipyard.
Hey, fellas, here's Admiral Teeley now.
Well, what are the findings of the board, Admiral?
Yeah, Admiral, what's the dope on this sabotage ring?
Gentlemen, the board has authorized me to make this statement to the press.
Let's have it, Admiral.
Yeah, let's have the lowdown, Admiral.
Our inquiry indicates that all ships affected by recent acts of sabotage have all been built, reconditioned, or repaired in the Sag Island Yard.
Sag Island, eh?
Yes. And every resource at the command of the government is being directed toward the apprehension of those responsible for the systematic blows at the naval defense strength of the United States.
Preston, would you mind telling me where you've been for the past 5 days? I was nearly frantic until I got your call asking me to meet you. And why those old clothes, and why haven't you shaved?
I'm sorry, Margot. I've been at Sag Island.
Sag Island? You mean where they're having all the trouble in the shipyard?
Yes, it seemed to be a case where the Shadow might be of some use to his country.
You've uncovered something. Is that why you sent for me, Lamont?
I'm not sure, but I stumbled on something last night. It's been a process of elimination.
Where are we going? Back to Sag Island?
Yes, we're almost there now.
Lamont, have you anything definite to work on? It seems so hopeless.
You forget, Margot, that I, as the Shadow, have a certain gift.
You mean what the underworld call the power of invisibility?
Yes, and the ability to read other men's minds, particularly the mind of a man who has something to hide.
But you've got to find that man first, Lamont.
I know.
Do you mean that out of the 3,000 men in the Sag Island shipyards, you found the one man who has eluded the Secret Service, the police, and everyone for weeks?
I think I have, Margot. I'll know for sure tonight.
What do you want me to do, Lamont? We're coming into Sag Island now.
I want you to go to the Sag Island Hotel, take a room, and set up the shortwave radio outfit. You brought it, didn't you?
Yes, it's in the baggage compartment.
Good. Now listen, Margot. Tune in the wave I use as the Shadow and wait. Wait all night if necessary. Stop the car here, Margot.
Yes. Lamont, I know you don't believe in woman's intuition. At least you pretend not
to. On the contrary, I have a healthy respect for intuition. I'll be careful. I have a premonition myself.
Lamont, can't you tell me anything more?
I can only tell you I'm going into that bar down the street. If this man is the one I think he is, we will have a very interesting visit in that bar.
Hey, bartender, set him up again.
Yeah, one more round.
Done doing, boys. It's closing time.
All right. Come on, Jake.
Okay. Good night.
Come on, Bill. Let's go.
Good night, boys. Good night.
Holy mackerel. 2 o'clock already.
An hour passes quickly when a man is talking about himself, Mr. Buckler.
What? What have I been talking about? What have I... Say, who the devil are you, anyway? If you're one of them Secret Service guys trying to pump me, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm not a Secret Service man.
Then what's your game?
What's yours?
You're not looking for a job. You're a phony. I have a good notion to turn you over to the cops. They're rounding up guys like you.
Sit down, Buckler. Listen to me, or you'll get us both in trouble.
Who sent you here? Who told you to look me up?
Would it help if I told you what you're thinking, Buckler?
Quit stalling. Who sent you?
It's running through your mind over and over again. I see it like a picture on a slate. You're thinking, did Arnheim send him? Did Arnheim send him?
You're a liar. I never mentioned Arnheim's name. Never heard of him.
Then why are you thinking of a name you never heard? Don't be a fool, Buckler. I know.
What do you know? What did he send you for? What's wrong? Why didn't he...
Yes.
Nothing. Quit staring at me like that, or I...
You were going to say, why didn't Arnheim tell me himself? Suppose we go ask him.
No, he don't want anybody to know. If you're in on this, you ought to know that. Listen, you. I don't know how much you know or how...
Hey, you two, it's past closing time. Come on, I'll clear out. Tomorrow's another day.
My friend and I were just leaving.
Yeah? Well, you'll have to go out through the alley. I locked up the front door, and I ain't unlocking it again.
Come along, Buckler. We can finish our talk on the way.
On the way to where?
Come along, I'll show you.
All right. We can cut through the alley. We can talk on the way.
Yes, we can talk. After you, Buckler.
Okay, come on. Hey, come on, what's the idea? We're going down the dark alley, ain't we? Hey, you, cut the comedy and come on.
Your companion has left you, Mr. Buckler. He saw your hand slip into that pocket where you carry a blackjack. He saw the picture in your mind. And knowing you meant to crush his skull, he asked me to take his place.
What is this, a frame-up? Who was that guy? Who are you?
Steve Buckler, you're a traitor. You're selling your birthright, your honor, your country's safety for money you'll never live to collect.
How do you know all that? Who are you, anyway?
This is your first excursion in crime, isn't it, Buckler?
What difference does that make? Who are you? What do you want?
If you had any contact with the underworld, you wouldn't have to ask who I am. Have you ever heard of the Shadow, Steve Buckler?
The Shadow. So that's it. That's who you are. The man who can hide anywhere that no one has ever seen.
Yes, Buckler. The man no one has ever seen. Don't move! Shall I tell you what you're thinking? I see the picture inside your head. You're thinking you'd kill me if you could only see me.
You're like that other guy. You can't tell what I'm thinking. All right, you got me dead to rights. What do you want me to do?
Stop taking orders from Arnheim.
Is that all? You mean you're not going to turn me over to the Secret Service?
No. No, I'm going to give you one more chance, Steve Buckler. One last chance. Margot Lane. Margot Lane. Stand by. Stand by. I have found our man. He is meeting someone. The Shadow will be with them. Stand by.
All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We play classic radio shows for you. All your favorites, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Inner Sanctum, The Whistler, Gunsmoke, Dragnet. We have the comedies, all the great comedies like The Life of Riley, which we'll have in our next hour. And we have the Charlie McCarthy Show, Burns and Allen. These are the shows that aired on the radio back in the 1940s and 50s, and even in the 1930s, before the advent of television. And we have about 100,000 radio shows, so we have just about everything you can think of. And Mike Costella, our executive producer, prepares those shows for you, and we play them every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. in the morning. And our website is WGNRadioTheater.com. Our Facebook page is
WGN Radio Theater.
All right. So just go to the Facebook and like us. Also, tell us what you want to hear. And then Lisa tells me, right, when she reads them?
I do. I talk to everybody that posts on Facebook. I love to hear from you. I want to hear what you want to hear. But I also like to comment and talk, and we get suggestions and just kind of fun communication back
and
forth.
Lisa has the fastest thumbs in the West.
It's really fun to communicate with our listeners and,
yes,
and know what they're thinking, and we love that.
It's a lot of fun. In fact, we just took some pictures of us holding Mies meals.
I'm going to post them right now.
In the vacuum-packed containers that they come in things. And we took a picture with Scott Zuckerman, and we're going to post it.
I will, right now.
So, and if you please check out Mies Meals at miesmeals.com. We want to buy you dinner for two, up to $25. Just put in the code RADIO at checkout. Go to miesmeals.com. It's a special offer, limited time offer, but we want to feed all of our listeners. We play classic radio shows for them, so great entertainment. And then we want to feed you, too.
Who doesn't love a free meal?
Yeah.
I do. It always tastes better when it's free. Doesn't it?
It is kind of nice.
It is kind of
nice. It's like it just has more spices or something when it's free, I guess.
I don't know. Free is always good.
And, Mike, you're getting your Mies meals, too.
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind. I got to get some orders in. You know, you got me working like 100 hours a week. So
that's all?
Slave
only
driver.
100 hours?
Apparently, yeah. So when I get a chance to go online, I'm going to go
check
it out.
There's over 200 hours in the week, so I'm doing something wrong.
I have other jobs. I have other jobs.
Come on, Mike. We need 100% of your attention here.
So go to Facebook. We would love it if you'd like us. We want to build the likes on our Facebook page, so please do that. And what else? We want to talk about our contest with Cat's Pride. Yeah, send in a picture of you and your cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com, and you will be entered in to the contest to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Dan Jaff, you'll be here at the end of March and give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
And when you send that picture, please include your name, your cat's name, and your city and state.
Right, and someone will win, so maybe it'll be you. Send that picture in. All right, let's get back now to this January 16th, 1938 episode of Sabotage, starring Orson Welles as the Shadow.
Who's there? Who's there?
It's Rigo. Let me in, Butler.
Oh, okay. Where's Arnheim? Why didn't he come?
What makes you think he'd be fool enough to come here just because you sent word you're in trouble?
I've got to see him. I've got to talk to him, Rigo.
What's the matter with you? The Secret Service men been asking you questions again?
No, they don't suspect anything. But somebody else is after us. Somebody knows Arnheim is back of all this sabotage.
Well, who is it? Come on, Butler, out with it.
Let go of me, I'll tell you. It's the Shadow.
The Shadow. Don't give me that.
It's the truth. That's why I phoned Arnheim. I got to have the money you promised me. I got to get away from here.
Listen, you fool. How did the Shadow get wise to you? How much does he know?
I'm not sure.
How did he find out unless you told him?
I didn't tell him, but he can read your mind. Listen, you got to take me to Arnheim. I got to get away.
How did you get away from the Shadow?
He let me go. Said he was giving me one last chance.
You're lying, Buckler. People don't get away from the Shadow. He doesn't let them go unless they're working for him. Listen, if you're trying to pull a double cross on Arnheim, you'll never live to tell it.
I'm telling you the truth, Rigo. You gotta believe me.
All right. Maybe you are. But it just happens we've got another job for you that'll prove whether you're on the level with Arnheim or not.
I can't do anything more. The Shadow knows I'm responsible for all those accidents. He'll find me. You can't hide from anybody like that.
He'll find you dead if you don't do as you're told. Besides, Buckley, you'd like to get that $50,000 Arnheim promised you, wouldn't you?
I've done more than he asked already. I've earned that $50,000 a dozen times over.
Maybe you have. But you don't get it unless you carry out Arnheim's orders. Well, this is the last. It'll be easy for you. And it won't take you long. I'll wait for you. Take you to Arnheim's place. He'll pay you off and you can be on your way. And what about it, Buckler?
What does he want this time?
It's that battle cruiser that's going out on a trial run in the morning.
It's too late to tamper with anything now, Rigo.
So what? You're a turbine inspector. You're scheduled to go along, we know that.
But how? What can I do? It's too late, I tell you.
I'll show you what you're going to do. You see this metal tube?
Yeah. What do you want me to do with it?
You're going aboard the cruiser and plant that inside some piece of machinery. Some place where it'll get smashed when the engines start.
What's in that tube?
Oh, nothing much. Just enough nitroglycerin to tear the turbines out of that cruiser?
No, I won't do it. It'd kill every man in the engine room.
It won't be the first time, Buckler.
I couldn't carry that thing into the yard. They're searching everybody, Rigo.
Quit stalling, will you? We know they don't search inspectors. That's why you've been so useful.
All right. Suppose I can get it in the machinery. Get off the ship before she sails. How do I know Arnheim will keep his word? Pay me off and let me get away.
I didn't come here to bargain with you, Buckler. All I know is Arnheim told me to bring you back after you'd carried out his orders.
All right. I'll do it. But this is the last time. Give me that tube.
Now you're talking. But look out for that stuff. It's touchy. Well, come on. What are you waiting for?
You better go first.
Nothing doing. I'm making sure you get to the yard. That cruiser sails with the flood tide. And don't try anything because I'll be waiting for you in my car when you come out. Well, come on.
Margo Lane, drive to shipyard. Watch for black sedan parked in front of red brick building. Our man is Steve Buckler, ship inspector. I am following him into shipyard to prevent another accident. Margo, don't lose sight of that black sedan. It will lead us to the real heads of the sabotage ring.
Morning, Mr. Buckler.
Oh, morning, Lieutenant.
Giving the turbines a bit of final inspection before we start on the trial run?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd have a look around.
Go right ahead. I have to check the gauges. Let me know if you find anything that needs adjustment.
I'll let you know, Lieutenant.
I'll show on. I'll show I'm not afraid to go through with this. There, now. Just wait till those carbines start spinning. Till they smash that metal tube of nitroglycerin. Just wait.
Everything look all right, Mr. Butler?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's fine. Just fine, Lieutenant. Goodbye.
Yes. Everything will be just fine. In just a moment. As soon as I've removed this tube of nitroglycerin that Buckler put in the turbine.
Margo, wait a minute.
Oh, Lamar, thank heavens you're here. There goes that black sedan.
It's Buckler and a man named Rigo. Follow them and don't get too close.
What happened in the shipyard?
Well, Buckler tried to carry out another sabotage job for a man named Arnheim. He's the man we want.
Did you stop Buckler?
Yes, but he doesn't know it. Don't have an accident, Margo. We'll be scattered all over the landscape. Careful, Margo.
What do you mean?
Just that this metal tube I'm carrying contains enough nitroglycerin to blow us to kingdom come if it's jolted hard enough.
Where'd you get it, Lamont? From Buckler?
Yes, he left it in a gearbox at the battlecruiser.
Oh, so that's why you followed him into the shipyard.
Slow down, Margo. You're getting too close to that car. Yes, yes. I had to stop that murderous scheme, even if it meant losing track of Buckler and Rigo.
But do you think they'll lead us to this man who seems to be behind all this, Arnheim?
I'm sure of it.
Look, Lamont, they're turning in that big estate.
Quick, Margo. Pull off the road and stop.
Yes. Lamont, look at the sign. Redland Sanitarium. This doesn't look like a place where Arnheim would have his headquarters.
That's probably why he selected it. Well, Margo, this is it.
Lamont, you're not going in there alone.
Yes, the Shadow is going to return this little metal instrument of death to Dr. Arnheim in person.
Doctor?
Yes, just look at that sign, Margot. Redland Sanitarium, Dr. Felix Arnheim, resident physician.
Oh, please don't go in there alone, Lamont. Let's notify the state police. We can. I have the radio transmitter in the car.
Good, and I want you to call the state police on the regular wavelength 5 minutes after I've gone in the house.
Well, why not call them now?
Margot, we're not dealing with amateurs. They're undoubtedly prepared against police raids. If the police blunder in there, they'll only find an empty house. I've got to go in there alone.
Don't take that nitroglycerin with you, Lamont.
Well, Margot, I must. This tube of concentrated death is an important part of my plan to hold those men in that house until the police break in.
Oh, don't, Lamont. You said you had a premonition, remember?
Don't, Margot, worry. Call the police, and in 5 minutes, 5 minutes, which is in the lap of the gods.
And in the hands of the Shadow.
Well, Rigo?
Here he is, Dr. Arnheim.
So you have to come to tell me you're afraid, Mr. Buckler. You wish to go away. Far away.
Yes. Yes, I know when I've had enough. And I want that $50,000 and I want it quick.
So, have you carried out my last instructions?
Yes, I have. And that's the finish. Pay me off and let me get away from here.
I'm afraid we must wait until we are sure of the success of your latest venture in sabotage, Mr. Buckler.
Listen, Arnheim. Finding that nitroglycerin on the cruiser will be traced to me an hour after the explosion. Every Secret Service agent in this country will be after me.
And we will see that they do not find you.
I'll see to that myself. Listen, you'll give me that $50,000 and let me get out of here now, or I'll...
Oh, what? Keep him covered, Mr. Rigo.
Don't make a move, Butler. I hate to shoot men in the back.
What were you going to do if we don't pay you, Mr. Butler?
Arnheim, I'm warning you. Tell Rigo not to shoot. Do you think I didn't know you'd try something like this? Do you think I'd come here without an ace up my sleeve?
Go on, Mr. Buckler.
Just this. This little bottle filled with some of the nitroglycerin you sent me to plant on the cruiser. You know what'll happen if I throw it, and I'll throw it if Rigo shoots.
Mr. Buckler, you're bluffing. That metal tube was sealed and could not be opened.
You're crazy. I opened it. Poured a little out of it.
Rigo. I think Mr. Buckler has served us long enough. He wants to go far away. I think we should help him.
No. No. I've done everything you wanted. You can't kill me. You'll be caught.
Mr. Buckler, this is a sanitarium. Many persons have died here. It is quite useful. The police think nothing of one death, more or less.
Are you sure there's no nitro in that bottle, Doctor?
Quite sure. I think... Now, Mr. Rigo.
No. No, don't! Oh.
Shadow. The Shadow warned me. I should have listened. Listen to the Shadow.
Very good, Mr. Rigo.
This American man of mystery, the Shadow, he interests me. You told me something over the telephone.
Yes, he got to Butler last night. Makes himself invisible. As I told you over the phone, I think we'd better get out of the country for a while.
Because of this Shadow? He's just a man using hypnotic forces that affect men's minds.
Well, maybe, but once he gets on your trail, there's no shaking him off.
But I know something about such forces.
He can appear in a room without being seen. How does he do it?
Some call it the powers of angels or devils, but it's the art of mesmerism. Hypnotic suggestion is very old, and certain men of modern science have developed it amazingly.
Well, no matter how he does it, I don't want to meet this Shadow.
In that case, Mr. Regal, will you be so kind as to remove that body? I dislike the presence of the dead.
All right, I'll take care of it. I'll be in the cellar if you need me.
I shall not need you.
Say, what's funny, Doc? What are you grinning about?
I am looking forward to a conversation I'm going to have.
Somebody coming here?
Not exactly. Don't concern yourself, Mr. Regal. This is something beyond your comprehension.
Okay. I'll be on tap if you need me.
What are you waiting for, Shadow? Why don't you speak?
How long have you known I was in this room, Doctor?
For quite some minutes, Shadow. While I'm not a master of your art of invisibility, my mind is sensitive to such a forceful concentration as you exert to cloak your presence.
I see. Since you sent Rigo away, it is evident you are not afraid of me.
Fear is a luxury I do not allow myself, Shadow.
Your career of sabotage is over, Dr. Arnheim.
I think not. I have never met a man who did not have a price, Shadow.
I have only one price for your kind, Doctor. Prison.
You could be very valuable to me, Shadow.
Don't reach into that drawer, Doctor. A gun is of no use.
A gun? That is a crude way of settling a difference of opinion. But money I can pay well.
Money won't help you.
And then you leave me no alternative. You see this little wheel set into this wall?
Yes.
I turn it and...
Gas.
Yes, Shadow, gas. The room is airtight. Has served me well on other occasions, Shadow. You can't get out. A door is locked on the outside.
What good will it do you to kill me if you also die?
I'm not going to kill you or myself with this gas.
What then?
Just enough gas will be liberated to numb your powers of concentration. Enough to destroy your ability to remain invisible. You can't resist it, Shadow. And just the moment you will weaken, become visible, and the moment I see you, the moment I catch the faintest glimpse of a shadowy form, I'll shoot. The air's becoming quite heavy, Shadow.
Yes, but... Listen, Dr. Arnheim. The police are closing in, Doctor.
So, you don't trust your own powers. You had to have the police to help you.
In a few minutes, the place will be surrounded.
That is all the time I need. You will become visible. I shall kill you. And then...
And then?
I take the police a little while to break into this room. When they do, they will find a dead Shadow. But I shall not be here. This door behind me leads to a passageway which leads to a bay. A speedboat awaits me there.
I know about the speedboat, Dr. Arnheim.
You see, the gas is doing its work. You are weakening. Your power of invisibility is losing it. What is it, Rigo?
Doctor, quick, the police. The passageway. The speedboat is ready. We can make it. Hey, what are you doing with that gas? What's the idea?
Wait, Rigo. The Shadow. He's here in this room. In just a moment, he will become visible.
But you haven't time to wait. The police are already in the house.
Don't try to escape in that speedboat. I have turned it into a death trap, Dr. Arnheim.
Come, quick, or it'll be too late.
Wait, Dr. Arnheim. Death is waiting for you in that speedboat. A violent death of your own making.
No, you can't bluff me.
Don't listen to him, Doctor. Hurry.
All right. But remember, Shadow, we shall meet again.
I'm afraid not, my friend. But first, let me turn off this gas.
Search the place! Run it, everybody!
You men take me upstairs. Rest of you, follow me. Try that room, Sergeant.
Okay.
Captain, this room's full of gas.
Sergeant, that iron door there. Try it.
Looks like they skipped.
What was that?
Sounded like an explosion down near the water.
Yes, it was an explosion, gentlemen. And there will be no more wrecking of warships. It was the tube of nitroglycerin intended for the new battlecruiser by Dr. Arnheim and placed in the gears of the good doctor's own people with the compliments of the Shadow.
You have just heard a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite, will again present another thrilling adventure of The Shadow. Be sure to listen, and be sure to burn Blue Coal, the solid fuel for solid comfort.
Lisa, do you need any blue coal for your heater at home? For your
I need some blue coal right here, right now at the studio.
Blue coal?
Yes.
I don't think blue coal exists anymore. You know why they called it blue coal? Because it had sort of a tint.
Tinge of blue?
Yeah, a tint of blue.
How did
on
I
it.
Know?
Yeah, they were a sponsor for The Shadow for a little while. I actually have a blue coal anthracite ring.
I was just going to ask you, yeah. Don't you have something
yes.
from them?
Yes, I'm a collector of the radio premiums. And they, you would send in like I don't know the piece of the packaging for blue coal, and you'd get this thing for free. Well, I've got one.
I bet you do.
It's pretty cool. It glows in the dark.
Do you wear it?
Yeah, all the time. I never take it off my finger. But yeah, I have one. All right, that's The Shadow, January 16th, 1938, Sabotage, starring Orson Welles. And you know who played the lovely Margot Lane in that? Agnes Moorehead. Who was Andorra on Bewitched.
She was wonderful.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Is she kind of standoffish? Ivy League, rubs people the wrong way.
She's from New York. She's complicated. She's got very high standards.
We have Yvonne on the line from Chicago. Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Great. Can you name that celebrity?
Yes, Ben Affleck.
You are absolutely right. You are a winner, and you have won a $50 gift card for Mee's Meals, the most healthy and delicious food that is delivered right to your door. So congratulations. We hope that you enjoy that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vaughn.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, before we tune into the life of Riley, I want to welcome Darren Foley and his segment's called Around the Town with Darren Foley. What's up, Darren? How are you?
Hey, Carl. Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
I'm doing great.
All right. Tell us about what's happening around the town of Barrington.
Well, you know, to start, I was at Whole Foods the other day, and I noticed a huge Fabio Viviani wine display.
That's great wine.
You know what? I bought 23 bottles.
yeah, and where's our bottles of wine?
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
I had them for you.
Wait, did you drink them already?
I did. I drank them all.
We have Fabio Viviano wines coming in on March 19th.
March
19th, special, right?
Right. And it's going to be a super special for all the listeners.
All right,
and,
very
we're
cool.
We're just going to have to wait to find out.
All right, very cool. Yeah.
So I was out in Barrington the other day, and, you know, I went to Vaporworks once again just to check in on things. And I'll tell you, if you go there and mention WGN, you're going to get a 30% discount on any purchase you make.
Isn't this is a great way to stop smoking. Go
That's
to Vaporworks.
Right. And let me tell you something. If you want to quit smoking, you ask Mike the owner, and he will help you breathe again. Mike knows what he's doing.
Very
he
cool. Hey, way to stop smoking. And they do it in a way where it's not so painful, right?
Yeah.
It's not so difficult. He has special techniques over
That's
there.
That's right. He shows you how to breathe air again.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, you know, when I was at Whole Foods checking out Fabio Viviani wines, there was a person standing next to me, and his name is Frankie Ace. And he's got a great show. And it's the magical comedy show for all ages. So if you check him out on Facebook, Frankie Ace Magic Show.
Ah, if I want to hire a magician
for your kid's birthday party or any kind of party, just have him come over. He will keep you totally entertained.
Go to Facebook and check out Frankie Ace Magic Show. Very good.
Absolutely. And that's about it.
All right.
I didn't go anywhere this week.
Thanks, Darren. We appreciate it. All right, buddy. All right, it is time now for The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. And this is a really funny series, Lisa. We've played these before. It was created by Irving Brecker, and it starred William Bendix. It premiered on radio in 1944. And Riley was an airplane riveter and devoted family man. His wife was Peg, and his kids were Babs and Junior. His catchphrase was, "What a revolting development this is." His co-worker was Jim Gillis. And the town's friendly undertaker was Digby Odell, both of those characters played by John Brown. On TV in 1949, Jackie Gleason started out as Riley, then Bendix came along after that for the next six seasons. But it really was William Bendix who made this series his own. And we're going to go back to 1951, April 6th. It's called Old Man Riley. It stars William Bendix now in part one of The Life of Riley.
Internationally famous Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. The dinner dishes have just been put away in the Riley household, and Mr. and Mrs. Riley are about to engage in a familiar conversation, one that has been taking place in the Riley household with increasing regularity of late.
Well, the dishes are all done. Riley, let's do something tonight for a change.
Okay, Dumplin'. What do you want to do?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to do?
I'll leave it up to you.
Well, the Durkins want us to go to a movie with them.
The Durkins.
Well, how about going over to the Gillises for canasta?
Oh, the Gillises.
Oh, all right. Let's stay home again. My, we Rileys sure lead an exciting life.
The Rileys.
You're impossible.
Hey, look at this. The Globetrotters are playing here tonight. Huh? That's a great basketball team.
Oh, wonderful. I used to love basketballs. I haven't seen a game in years. Oh, my goodness, it's 8 o'clock. I better hurry up and get dressed.
No, never mind, Peg. It was last night they played. I just noticed this is yesterday's newspaper.
Oh. Well, where'll we go?
Well, why go out when we can sit home?
Oh, you never want to go anywhere. Well, you've certainly changed.
What do you mean I've changed? We were never great ones for going out. Well, even the first year we were married, I remember we used to sit home almost every night.
Well, at least we sat home and necked.
Well, in those days we didn't have television. I mean, the science makes improvements. I mean, you want a neck?
No, thank you. I don't know what's happened to you. Used to be so full of pep and always wanted to be on the go and meet people. Now all you want to do is sit home.
Well, let's face it, Peg. We're getting on in years. Next year we'll be 41.
You'll be 41. I'll be 36. 36.
Yeah. Well, Peg, we all have to get old. You got to take it gracefully.
Graceful? Look at you. You're getting fat and sloppy.
Yeah, well, that's nature. I'm getting gray hairs, too, but I don't mind. Why, down the plant, all the younger guys call me Pop.
Well, nobody's going to call me Old Ma Riley. And you better stop talking as if we got one foot in the grave.
Well, that's another thing we got to consider. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Digger Odell the other day. He's got some plots he wants me to look over. One of them's got a wonderful view. He says we can buy it on his new layaway plan.
Chester Riley, that's... Well, if that's the way you feel about it, just count me out. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm going to be one of the peppiest widows in town.
Hey,
Anything else on personnel, Hawkins?
Yes, Mr. Stevenson. Daniels is going into the Army next week.
Daniels? Oh, yes. He was supervisor at Department B.
Yes, that's right.
Have anybody in mind to replace him?
Well, it's a pretty responsible job. I was thinking we should use an older man there, more mature. A lot of young girls in that department, and young Daniels was always dating them, keeping them out till all hours. You'd be surprised how production fell off.
Well, the thing to do then is to find an older man who isn't too attractive to the ladies. Let's see.
I know.
So do I.
Riley.
Just the man. Riley must be at least 40, probably more. Time he got a promotion and a raise.
Well, we'll have to find a good man to replace Riley. He's got a key job in riveting.
Yeah. How about that young fellow, Ellis?
Good worker for a kid his age.
Let Riley break him in. Show him the ropes. And listen, don't say anything to Riley in the meantime. First, we'll see how Ellis works out.
Right. I'll have him start on Riley's job first thing tomorrow.
Good.
Morning, Gillis.
Hey, you're late, Riley.
Yeah, I know. I missed the bus by 10 seconds. I can't run as good as I used to. Just now, climbing the steps here got me all pooped. Whew.
You're getting old, Riley.
Yeah, well, we all got to get old sometime. Hey, who's that kid over there on my machine?
Morning. You Pop Riley?
Yeah, that's me, son. What can I do for you?
Well, my name is Ellis.
Oh, there you are, Riley.
Oh, hi, Mr. Hawkins.
Oh, I see you've met Ellis. Yeah. I want you to show him the ropes on your job.
On my job?
Yeah. Teach him everything you know.
Yeah, you leave it to me, Mr. Hawkins. When I get through with him, he'll be able to do it a lot better than me. You need a younger man on this job.
Okay, I'm relying on you.
All right. Okay, son, let's get to work.
Just a minute. I'll get my tool chest.
Gillis, what do you think of that?
Well, why are you so happy about that?
Why not? I don't see them asking you to teach the kids your job.
You push me.
Don't be jealous.
Jealous? I wouldn't be in your spot for anything.
What do you mean, my spot? I'm just teaching the kid my job.
And after you teach him, and he knows it better than you do, like you said, what are you going to do?
Me? Well, I'm going to... I'm going to be out of a job.
Brother, you're smart as a whip.
Yeah, well, why are they picking on me? Why me?
Well, you're getting old, Riley. You're slowing up.
Who's getting old?
Well, you just said yourself you can't run for a bus. You can't even climb no stairs no more.
Well, is that a reason to fire me? Well, that's no way to treat a guy with a family. After all, I'm a human being.
That's your tough luck. At least if you was a horse, they'd take you to the glue factory. Bing, bang, your troubles is over.
But I've been here longer than any of you guys. Who organized the Bolts, Nuts, and Loose Screws Club? I did. You only worked here 3 years, and you're still a bolt. But me, right from the beginning, I was a loose screw.
And you're gonna get looser. Well, them is the brakes, pal.
Yeah, well, they won't get away with this.
What can you do? As soon as the kid learns your
he
job...
He ain't gonna learn. He's gonna wind up being the most stupid guy in the plant. And I'm the guy that can teach him.
Okay, let's get going, Pop.
Shut up.
Huh?
Don't call me Pop or I'll bust you in a jaw.
What do you want me to call you?
Call me what I call you, son.
Oh, that you, Riley?
Yeah, it's me.
Well, hurry up, dear. Supper's on the table. Well, come on, Riley. What are you standing out there for?
I'm coming.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi. Oh, okay, let's eat.
Riley.
Huh?
Will you please take your hat off when you sit down at the table?
Huh? Well, there's a draft.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
I feel a wind blowing in my ear.
Well, don't worry. It'll just blow out through the other one.
Please, Peg, I don't like you to make jokes like that about me.
Well, you just bring it on yourself. Sitting at the table with a hat on. Take it off, do you hear?
Okay.
Goodness, I don't know what's the matter with you. Sometimes when you come home from work, you act just... Ah! Riley!
Daddy!
What have you done to your head?
What happened, Daddy? Well,
were you in an accident?
Nothing happened, nothing.
Well, look at your head!
Yeah, well, so what? So I got a crew haircut.
haircut. Yeah. For a minute, I thought you got your head caught in that cement mixer again.
Oh, Daddy, you're a scream.
Oh, a crew haircut. At your age.
What do you mean, at my age? Lay off that stuff, will you?
Oh, what's the matter, Riley?
Peg, I... Nothing. Let's eat.
Oh, what's bothering you, dear? You're certainly acting very odd.
Well, can't a guy sit down to supper without getting criticized? You want to criticize Bev's.
Me? What did I do?
Yeah, well, I told you 1,000 times not to read the paper at the table.
Oh, Babsy, put the paper away.
Oh, just a second.
Babs.
Okay, but I was reading a very interesting article. This psychology professor says that men over 40 make the best husbands. You think that's true, Daddy?
How should I know? Ask a man over 40. I ain't over 40 yet.
Well, I know, but I... My goodness, Daddy, you're certainly getting touchy.
Well, I'm sick and tired of your harping on my age all the time. Well, you carry on, you'd think I was an old, old man, all bent over like this with the... Peg, straighten me up.
All right, that's the first portion of The Life of Riley, April 6, 1951, Old Man Riley, starring William Bendix. Also in the cast, you heard the voice of Fred Flintstone, Alan Reed as his boss at the airplane riveting factory. And also in the cast, Paula Winslow plays Peg, and you heard Barbara Eiler, Herb Vigran, and Eddie Firestone. Harry Von Zell doing the announcing for Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, as heard on NBC. We'll get back to The Life of Riley in just a couple of moments. Lisa, you have a live read, as they say in radio?
Yes. I'm wondering if you are looking for a luxury apartment in northwest suburbs. If so, Riverside Plaza, located in the heart of downtown Algonquin, is exquisitely designed, from the solid bamboo flooring to the European kitchen design. Filled with every imaginable convenience, Riverside Plaza features a club lounge, event room, and fitness center, and is conveniently located near transportation, shopping, and dining. To learn more, call John at 224-268-6343. That's 224-268-6343. Or visit RiversideLuxe.com. That's LUXE.com. Riverside Plaza, where luxury and beauty come to life.
You know, a little earlier we had Scott Zuckerman, the CEO of Mies Meals. Mies Meals is our new sponsor, one of our new sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater. And if you missed the special offer that we made to all of our listeners, we'll tell you what it is one more time, because it's a limited time offer. And what we're doing is we're buying everybody out there listening dinner for two, up to $25 at Mies Meals. And it's delivered right to your door. Just go to miesmeals.com, and look at the wonderful menu they have there. Pick out dinner for two. And you have to fill out the information so they know where to ship it to you. And they bring it to you on Monday. So you pick it out on the website during the week. And then on Monday, they deliver it to you, because they make all the food fresh over the weekend. So if you this week pick out the food you want, Saturday and Sunday they're preparing the food. On Monday, you'll get the food. It'll be in a kind of a container that has ice in there. And the food is fresh, and it's wonderful. And here's the best part. We're buying you dinner for two absolutely free, up to $25. Just put in the code RADIO at checkout.
We're doing that because we're so sure that you're going to love it. I love it. Carl loves it. Mike loves it. So we are sure that you are going to love it as well.
And we're posting some of the pictures, because Lisa and I and Mike. Mike didn't have it last week, but Lisa and I had it last week, and Mike's starting this week. And I think I ordered salmon this week. I ordered chicken enchilada and something else. I can't remember what the other thing. What did you order this week?
For this week, a cheesy chicken calzone.
Uh-huh.
And some kind of a rice bowl that has coconut and ginger and basil.
I thought you said you didn't like coconut.
Well, and that's what I did. I said no coconut, so they're going to skip the coconut.
What do you have against coconut?
I don't like coconut.
You got a problem with coconuts?
I guess I do.
Oh, okay.
Right. if you buy coconut for Lisa, she may end up returning it.
I probably will, but at least I'll let you know that I'm returning
just
it.
Just like
so.
Everything else I've ever bought her for returns.
Yeah, you're so
Lisa Wolf.
Kyle Amari.
You are the one and only Lisa Wolf. I'll give you that much.
I'm guessing there are other ones, but
I
don't know
any. You're the one on WGN
Radio. I'm the one.
You're my co-host here. We've known each other since 2009.
Well,
you know that?
No, I...
Yeah,
that's right.
Wow, Lisa.
Wow, Carl.
You stuck in there with me since 2009.
I think I'm the only person who's known you that long.
That's probably...
Most people
well, my
go
kids,
running for the hills.
My kids, they're...
Well, that's not they're family. They're stuck with you.
Yeah. I have, you know, I have one friend that I am still friends with since kindergarten.
Since
kindergarten.
Do I know him?
Art Stevens. I don't think you've ever met Art Stevens. But he's my friend since kindergarten.
You say that funny, kindergarten.
He must have a really, he's really got patience, huh?
That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll say.
I don't know how he does it.
He does, yeah. All right, so we went tuning into the life of Riley, William Bendix's Chester A. Riley. Let's go back to April 6, 1951 for the conclusion now to Old Man Riley on the life of Riley.
I told you to go and see a chiropractor about your back.
There's nothing wrong with my back.
Now, stop kidding yourself. If you can't bend over at your age without even...
Again with the age. I don't want to hear another word about my age.
Riley!
I'm warning you, the next person makes a crack about my age, they're going to get it from me, and I mean it.
Now, come back here. Sit down and eat.
I don't want to eat.
Where are you going?
I'm going to listen to the radio.
Riley, come back here.
Some family I got. All they know is to criticize. Well, I wasn't kidding. If I hear one more remark about my age, so help me...
Do you suffer from the natural aches and pains of old age?
I'll kill him. I'll murder him.
If you do, try a bottle of backwards. Backwards taken frontwards is dandy.
Shut up!
Why, Riley!
Yeah.
What are you doing? Stop it! Stop punching that radio.
Yeah,
oh, now you broke it.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, what's wrong? Ever since you came home, you've been acting like a wild man.
I can't help it, Peggy. You see, I...
Oh, dear. Now, who's that at this hour?
I'll go see.
Good evening, Riley.
Oh, Mr. Hawkins. Hello.
I'm just passing by on my way home. I wanted to talk to you. I missed you at the plant.
What about, Mr. Hawkins?
Well, I was talking to the Ellis kid. I got the feeling you're riding him.
Yeah, well, he's pretty stupid, you know.
I don't think he's stupid after all. It's just his first day on a new job. He's just a kid, so go easy on him. After all, you're twice his age.
Oh, me? Old?
Who is it, Riley? Oh, excuse me.
Good evening.
This is my foreman, Mr. Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, this is Mrs. Riley.
How do you do, Mrs. Riley?
My mother.
Huh?
You've got a very young-looking mother.
Yeah.
Aren't you eating supper? Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Hawkins, meet Babs, my wife.
Huh?
You've got a very young-looking wife.
Yeah, we're a very young family.
Yeah, well, I'll be running along. See you tomorrow, Riley. Good night.
All right.
Daddy, what's the matter
with you? Riley, what on earth is there?
Okay. I'll tell you. They're going to fire me.
Fire you?
Yeah, because I'm getting old.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You think so? Then why are they making me break in a young kid on my job?
Well, when did this happen?
Today. And what do you think is going to happen to me when he learns it? Psst. Down the drain.
I don't believe it.
No, it's true, Peg. I'm slowing up.
They wouldn't fire you. They just wouldn't.
You've been there for years and years.
That cuts no ice with them. The minute you get a couple of gray hairs, out you go.
Oh, I don't believe it. Bab, take a look at the coffee, dear. I think it's perking over.
Oh, okay, Mother.
Oh, so that's why you're acting like this. Now, dear, you got to stop it. You've got to stop talking yourself into thinking you're old.
You don't think I'm old?
Why, of course not. I never heard of anything so ridiculous.
Well, I'm 40.
Oh, that's not old. Why, I'm 40.
I thought you were 36.
Well, what's the difference what your birth certificate says or how you look? A person's as old as he feels.
Oh, gee, Peg, you make me feel a lot better. I wish I'd talked to you about it right from the first instead of acting like I did at the table, snapping at you and yelling.
Oh, that's all right, dear.
Do you forgive me?
Of course.
You got a kiss for your old gray-haired husband?
I think so. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the kiss of an old man.
Just because there's snow on the roof, it doesn't mean the fire's going out in the house.
Despite Peg's assurances that you're only as old as you feel, Riley is not completely convinced. He's still determined to find a way of warding off encroaching old age. As a matter of fact, at the moment, he's talking over a certain drastic step on the telephone with Gillis.
Yeah, I got the stuff in a drugstore, Gillis. Golden Glint Hair Rinse. Yeah. What do I do? Just rub it on, huh? Yeah, I see. Well, you sure this stuff will work, huh, Gillis? Well, I mean, before I turned gray, I was a blonde, a dirty blonde. After I used the stuff, I wouldn't want to turn out to be a dirty redhead, you know. You sure it'll work, huh? Well, you guarantee it. Oh, your wife uses it for her mustache. Well, oh, that's good enough for me. Huh? No, Peg don't know. I'm kind of embarrassed about telling her. Yeah, I poured the stuff in a bottle marked cleaning fluid. She won't catch on.
O'Reilly!
Yeah, I gotta hang up now. Peg's calling. So long. Younger than springtime, baby.
Riley, why didn't you answer me?
Huh? Oh.
Will you stop looking in that mirror?
Well, Peg, I didn't hear you. Is there something you wanted?
Yes. Where's the cleaning fluid?
Cleaning fluid?
Yes, the cleaning fluid.
Oh, the cleaning fluid.
Don't you understand English? The cleaning fluid.
I don't know where it is.
But now, you must know. Junior said he saw you fooling around with a bottle marked cleaning fluid just a few minutes ago.
Well, he needs glasses. What do you want it for?
I got a spot in my new blouse, and if I don't take it out right away, it won't come out. Now, where did you put it?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, honest, Riley, you got a mind like a sieve. Half the time, you don't know where... What is that in your pocket?
Well, that's nothing.
Let me see
No, now, Peg.
It's the cleaning fluid. No. Had it in your pocket all the time.
Peg, don't use that stuff.
Well, why not?
It's no good.
Nonsense. I've used it dozens of times. The best thing on the market.
Peg, I'm telling you, don't use it.
Will you stop bothering me? I got to get at this spot.
Peg, wait. No, don't, Peg. Don't stop
it. Oh, cut it out, will you? Oh. Works like magic. Can't you see? The spot's almost... It's turning yellow.
Not yellow, blonde.
Well, look at it. It's spreading. Oh, my blouse is ruined.
Well, I told you not to use it, but you never listen to me. My opinion don't count for nothing in this house. You know everything, so go ahead and use hair dye on a blouse.
Hair dye?
I mean...
You mean to stand there and tell me you deliberately let me put hair dye on a good blouse that cost me $7?
Well, I...
And what were you doing with a bottle of hair dye?
Well, if you must know, I was going to touch up my hair.
What?
Well, why are you so shocked? Lots of women do. I figured it would make me look younger.
Oh, are you starting that again?
Well, I can't help it, Peg. I get more worried every day.
They're not going to fire you.
Yes, they are. I know it. That kid Ellis is getting smarter and smarter every day. I've already taught him everything I knew. Now I'm learning from him.
That's no reason to dye your hair. I never heard of such a thing.
I guess it was pretty stupid, but I was desperate. But I guess you're right. They won't fire me. I got nothing to worry about.
Oh. Getting into a stew over a few gray hairs.
Yeah, you're right. After all, what's a few gray hairs? But you've got gray hairs.
I have. Where? Pull him out.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. The phone. Hello?
Riley, this is Hawkins.
Oh, Mr. Hawkins.
I just want to tell you, you've done a good job with young Ellis. I think he's ready to take over by himself tomorrow.
Well, what about me?
That's why I called you. Get in a little earlier tomorrow and report to Mr. Stevenson. He wants to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, what is it?
You see, I told you I was right. They put Ellis in my job, and I got to see Stevenson tomorrow. He's going to fire me.
but I ain't going to give up without a fight. Give me that bottle.
Riley, what are you doing?
It's my only chance. If I can make him think I'm still young.
Riley, give me that.
Now, let go, Peg.
Stop.
I know what,
don't
I'll
do it.
I'll touch up my temples a bit. There.
Oh.
There. Well, now how do I look?
Like a blonde cocker spaniel.
Mr. Stevenson will see you in a few minutes, Riley. Sit down, won't you?
You know what he wants to see me about, Miss Colvin?
Well, no, I don't. Now, just sit down. It won't be long.
Thanks.
Yes, Mr. Stevenson?
Miss Colvin, is Riley out there?
Yes, he is.
I'll see him in a few minutes. Get his employment record out of the file. I want to see it.
Yes, sir. What's your first name, Riley?
Chester. What does he want with my record?
I don't know, Riley. Oh, here it is.
You think he's going to fire me?
I couldn't say. Here, take this file with you when you go in. And now just sit down and relax.
Right. Hi, Miss Colvin. Is Riley here? Oh, hi, Riley.
Riley, I'm going down the hall a minute. If Mr. Stevenson buzzes, go right in.
Okay.
Well, Riley, any news?
No, I ain't seen him yet.
What's that you got there?
It's my employment record. He wants to see it.
Oh, brother. You're in for it.
Well, that don't prove nothing.
Oh, no. There it is in black and white. Age 40. Figures don't lie, you know. Soon as Stevenson sees that 4-0 there...
Well, he ain't gonna see it. Where's an eraser?
What are you doing?
It rubs off easy.
Riley, don't do it. If they catch on, you get canned.
I'm getting canned anyway. It's a long shot, but I gotta take the chance. Now, I'll just type in a new figure.
How old are you gonna make yourself?
21.
21? Yeah. You nuts? You got a daughter, 17.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, up here where it says married in Brooklyn, I'll change it to Tennessee. Yeah, I can't think straight. I'll make it 33. Three. There. That looks okay.
All right, Miss Colvin, send Riley in.
Oh, well, this is it.
Good luck. I hope you get away with it.
Thanks. Well, here goes.
Hey, wait a minute. What'd you do to your hair? Oh, you used that stuff?
Yeah, golden glint. How do I look?
Like a blonde cocker spaniel. Well, good luck.
Come in. Ah, Riley, come in, come. Good heavens, what did you do to your hair? You look like a blonde cocker spaniel.
I mean... nothing. My hair's always been this color, dirty blonde.
Yes. Well, sit down, old man.
Who's old?
Why, Riley?
I know what you're going to say, Mr. Stevenson, but you're making a big mistake.
Riley, I don't understand.
I worked for you a long time, but I was a kid when I started, and I can prove it. There. Take a look at my file. There, figures don't lie. Look at that. Age 33.
33?
Yeah, surprised, huh?
Yes. I had no idea you were only 33. I thought you were much older.
Yeah, well, don't let these wrinkles fool you. I had them since I was a baby. I was a very old-looking baby with my wrinkles. No teeth. People would see me waddling along, and they'd say, look at that old man in diapers. Well, they didn't exactly say that, but you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm sure you're 33, Riley. If the file says 33, that's it.
Well, I guess this makes a difference, huh?
Yes, it certainly does. I'll have to find somebody else for that supervisor's job.
Supervisor?
Yes. I thought it was time we moved you up to a better-paying job, but we need a man who's at least 40.
40?
Too bad, Riley.
But, Mr. Stevenson, I'm 40.
Now, Riley.
Honest, I'm 40. I wouldn't lie to you. When I said I was 33, I lied to you.
I know you're disappointed, Riley, but it's right down here in black and white. 33. Figures don't lie. You said so yourself.
Now, Mr. Stevenson, you got to believe me. I'm really old. When I bend over, I can't even straighten up anymore. Look, you see how I'm bending?
All right, Riley, cut the comedy.
Mr. Stevenson, straighten me up.
You're a con, Riley.
Mr. Stevenson, please straighten me up.
You better get back to work, Riley, and cheer up. In 5 or 6 years, we'll talk about a promotion again.
What a revolting development this is.
Well, Well, it serves you right.
Oh, that's a fine thing to say. Here I lose out on a chance of a lifetime to get promoted, and it serves me right.
Well, it does. You had no business lying about your age. It's so childish.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Peg. It was pretty stupid. From now on, you and me, we're 40, and I don't care who knows it.
I am 36.
But yesterday you said...
I am 36.
But when we were married, we were both the same age, so if I'm 40, what does that make you?
I'm 36.
But on the marriage license, it says...
I am 36.
Okay, you're 36. And next year, when I'm 41, you'll be 35. Peg, we're drifting apart.
Oh, Riley, Riley, you old prevaricator.
I may be a prevaricator, but I ain't an old prevaricator.
No. Really, I can't understand you, Riley. Tonight you've been 21, 41, 33, 40, even a perfect 36. Now tell us, how old are you?
Take your pick, Harry. What'll you have?
I'll have Pabst Blue Ribbon. What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Finest beer served anywhere. Pabst Blue Ribbon invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp and Alan Lipscott. Direction by Mitch Lindemann. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Gillis is John Brown. Babs is Barbara Eiler. Stevenson is Alan Reed. Hawkins is Herb Bygren. Ellis is Eddie Firestone. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. The Life of Riley is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and sent your way with the best wishes of Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. This is Harry Von Zell saying, hope you'll be with us next week.
Bill Stern reports on sports next over many NBC stations.
That's The Life of Riley, April 6, 1951, Old Man Riley, starring William Bendix. Lisa, the man who created this show was named Irving Brecker. Terrific, terrific guy. Got to know him very well. He passed away a few years ago, but he used to invite me to his home in the Los Angeles area. We talked a lot about the good old days. He was a terrific writer. He was an Academy Award winner. He wrote the movies Bye Bye Birdie and Meet Me in St. Louis. He also wrote some of the Marx Brothers movies. So terrific talent, Irving Brecker. He was just a wonderful guy. Created this series and many, many other things, and a terrific comedy writer and dramatic writer as well. So hope you enjoyed The Life of Riley. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.